In this week's parsha, Ki Teitze, we have an Isur Lav called Lo Yilbash. Let's just read the Psukim. It says in Perek Chaf Beis, Lo Yekli Gever Al Isha. So a woman is not allowed to wear a Kli Gever. Vlo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha. And a man is not allowed to wear women's apparel. Ki Sovas Hashem Elokecha Kol Ose Eile. Torah uses very harsh language here. And before we see the Rashi, just by way of introduction, the reason why I'm interested in learning this sugya, Shalom Aleichem, you feel, how are you? Is because I think this sugya, in terms of some of the methodological points here, goes way beyond, you know, the context of this particular lav. There's some really fascinating points here that'll, I think, open our eyes about halacha in general. But secondly, I think this whole concept of lo yilbash is very relevant. And the reason for that is, and I never really got a chance, honestly, to study it, is because there are many situations where clothing, you know, with fashions, begin to get sort of on the gray area. You know, it's not always clear. Like, for example, slacks for women. Is that an Iser of lo yilbash, lo yekli gever al isha? It becomes very relevant on Purim. People dress up, a man as a woman, and vice versa. The question is whether that's acceptable. And then we're going to see that this lav is the source for the whole question of, which is very relevant to men, removing hairs from different parts of the body, or removing white hairs, you know, because you want to stay young, or coloring and dyeing your hair. So I think there are many different practical dimensions to this issue, and on top, I think there's some very interesting chidushim here about the way halacha operates. So let's begin with Rashi. Rashi in the parsha gives us an insight as to the reasoning behind this. The Torah doesn't really offer the reasoning. It just says, Tovos Hashem Ose Kol Eile. But why is it such a toeva? And Rashi says, if a woman dresses up like a man and she appears like a man, and she wants to circulate amongst the men, ultimately the purpose here is for immorality. And in the flip side, v'lo yilbash gever simlas isha leilech leishev bein hanoshim, He takes his place amongst the lady folk. And then Kitavos, Rashi says, Lo Asra Torah El Levush HaMevili De Toiva, that somehow this kind of dress is going to ultimately lead to a violation of the laws of morality. Now what I want to do is study with you Shulchan Aruch Yoredea Kuf Pei Beis. Kuf Pei Beis is the siman that is dedicated totally to this lav in the Torah of Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha. And what we want to do is, first let's fast forward to Sif Hey, which begins in the middle of your page and then goes on to the bottom of your page. And the Mechaber says, Lo Sa'ade Isha Ade Ish. Now the word in Hebrew of adei is an ornament, what we call a tachshit. And a woman is not allowed to wear this kind of masculine ornament. Kigon shetasim berosha, she wears on her head some sort of mitznefes, you know, very fancy male kind of hat, or shiryon, or some sort of a costume of men, for example, who go to the army and they fight in the military. You remember armor, you know, there are certain museums you can visit even today to see the armor that was worn way back in the day. So that's considered Beged Ish. a kli gever. And this is going to touch on the whole issue of women serving in the army here in Israel. Maybe we'll get a chance to do at least part of the long tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef on that question. And in that tshuva, Rav Avadya touches on many different dimensions of army life and how they relate to different prohibitions. And then we want to take a look at the Taz and the Shach. The Taz quotes his father-in-law, which is a little bit unusual, but here he does so. And he writes in Sif Dalid, Lo Sa'ada Isha Mashma Derech Idui Vekishut Asur. It's only because it's meant to beautify and sort of present yourself in a certain very, very, very sharp way. What is this coming? Lafuki, avalim osekei mipnei achama or mipnei atzina or hagishamim. Sometimes it might be that a woman needs to have access to male apparel simply because of the weather conditions. That's what's going to serve her well. So she's wearing a man's coat or something along that line. Ein iser kein, says the Bach. There's no Easter in such a case. The K nearly poshut. And the Taz gives his father-in-law thumbs up. That's, you know, you may ask, well, what's the big deal? But that's not every, whatever. Anyway, so the Bach says that this is okay. And in order to prove it, we'll see that within the context of Lo Yilbash Geber Simlas Isha, there is a prohibition of using a mirror. You know, women are famous for sitting, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, you know, and a man shouldn't be doing that. But yet, the halacha is that if he does it, kidelis stop air, for example, he's taking a shave or a haircut, then it's okay. That's mutter. Why? Because it's litzorech. It's not for the sake of kishut. He's not trying to present himself in a more beautiful way, feminine way, but rather he's just in need of it, like the case of the coat which warms your body. And that's what the Taz quotes in the name of the Bach. So right up front, I want to point out to you that what's interesting here, I call this methodologically, is that this is not an absolute Isser. This prohibition has conditions to it. And there are situations in which those conditions are not met, and therefore it's permissible. You'll see this in the Shach as well. The Shach writes, do you see the Shach? It's on the the middle section, or actually the bottom section of your page, on the right side. And again, he speaks about the fact that if it's not done, lizdamos leisha, you're not trying to imitate the women and present yourself like a woman presents herself, but rather lahagim neachamo atzina vechayotzim zem mutar. And he says, nira dahainu dafka betikune isha v'lim lovesh mamish bigde isha acheino nikashu ish. The Shach wants to set the upper bounds of this heter. The heter is because you're doing it not for the purpose of beauty. But he says there's a limit. Even if it's not being done for the purpose of beauty, but if it gets to the point where the man looks exactly identical to a woman, that's usur, he says. Now those are the outer limits. V'chein ipchan, the same if you go in the other gender, in the other direction. And then he quotes the Sefer Yireim, the also lilbosh afilu derech aroy ubederech schok. Even if he wears a female apparel, just as a joke, you know, for a momentary thing, that's also prohibited. So we see over here, and this is going to be the introduction to our next discussion about Purim and wearing costumes on Purim, that on the one hand, the Torah is very harsh and wants to avoid a situation at all costs where a man looks like a woman or vice versa. But on the other hand, if it's being done and these clothing are being worn for the sake of some purpose, like protection from the weather conditions, that could be okay. So I was just thinking out loud, you know, there's certain kinds of mink coats, you know, that have hoods on them, that women generally wear. But I've noticed that men started wearing this as well.
It's a different size, though, isn't it?
I don't know. You know, it could be that you get the large for a woman, is the small for a man. I don't know. But when you look around at some of these kinds of winter coats that people wear, I mean, again, in Canada, you would know about such a thing. But you know, some of them really look feminine. But you know, one of the questions we're going to have to deal with is, what defines the apparel as being singular to a gender? If at some point or another, it becomes so commonplace for both genders to wear something that it's no longer Begadish, it's no longer Begadisha. And that might be exactly the case that he's talking about when people find that, let's say, a woman's coat warms them up in the cold, and that's why a man is wearing this coat. He's not trying to pass himself off, point himself off as a lady. That's a whole different story. And this leads to the question about Purim. On Purim, we have costumes. This is very commonplace. And one of the questions I want to address today is, why all this emphasis on costumes and masks? Who needs it? I mean, if there's any sort of shaila, because it looks like Begadisha, just drop it. But we're going to see that the concept of wearing costumes on Purim is what you call a minig b'Yisrael. It's not to be taken lightly. And if you turn for a moment to page 2, you will see that on the top of page 2, there are two sfarim that are interested in getting down to the root of minhagim, the roots of minhagim. And they both are fascinated by this custom of dressing with all sorts of costumes and masks. And if you take a look at the Minag Yisrael Torah on Hilchos Megillah, he writes, Nagu Lashanos HaBegadim Bepurim, and you'll find many reasons for this Minag, one of which is Zeichel Mordechai. It says by Mordechai, Sheyotza Bilavush Malchus. He went out in a special garment. There's another explanation that it says Lo Asu Elaponim, which means that although the Jews were a little bit guilty of bowing down at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, nevertheless they only did this Lasos Ponim. It was just a mask. It was a guise. And at a time of Simcha, we are going to imitate that kind of a guise by wearing masks and so forth. He says, furthermore, the Ness of Purim Haya Melubash Bederech Ateva. The whole miracle of Purim is one long levush, meaning it's all something that on the face of it superficially appears one way, and it's only beneath that you reveal the other way. Then there's another explanation that we don't want to embarrass people who have to collect money on Purim. So if we're all wearing disguises and masks, that's exactly what the Ani is going to do. So Purim is organized for the Ani. If you take a look in the Ketzos HaShulchan, and by the way, all these are contemporary writers. This one is Rav Noy, he passed away a few years ago. He writes that Nagu Lilbosh Partsufim, we're going to see that in the Lashon Ramah in Hilchos Megillah, we wear masks. And he says that amongst the various reasons for this minog, one of them is that we want to destroy Amalek on Purim. Purim is all about the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. And Amalek themselves represent this concept of a mask. Amalek Hisva Atzmo Shelo Yikiruhu. Chazal say that Amalek sneaks in to do evil against the Jewish people by by appearing in one way when he really is Amalek. So there's a lot of reasons here, deep explanations for this minna. But how far can we take this minna? Are we able to go as far as undermining a mitzvah, a lav in the Torah of lo yilbash gever, where a man dresses up as a woman or vice versa? And technically speaking, in the laws of halacha, the rules of halacha, a mitzvah derabbanan like Purim could not possibly undermine an iso lav in the Torah. I mean, we do have principles like esse dochalosase, but not on a mitzvah derabbanan. And even if I grant you that Purim is more than a derabbanan, it might be, as the Taz is of the opinion, it's Divrei Kabbalah, because it's based on Psukim in Megillas Esther. But certainly the minhag of dressing up in costumes, that doesn't come anywhere near an Issur Doraisa. So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch wants to justify this minhag, and he finds a tshuva from the Mari Mintz. The Mari Mintz is a late Rishon, let's say about a century before the period of the Achronim. And the Mari Mintz is absolutely dedicated to protect the integrity of this minhag, and to insist with very harsh language that anyone who tries to undermine this minhag and say it's a violation of the law of the Torah should be dealt with harshly. And his basic approach is very fascinating. He quotes a tshuva of the Riva. The Riva was one of the Balei HaTosfos. And the Riva wants to know, let's say I grab something of yours within the context of Simchas Purim, is that called Gzela? And the Riva writes that that's not called Gzela because it's being done within the context of Simchas Purim. And therefore the Mari Mintz wants to apply that logic here. We're not doing it in order to steal anything. It's all part of Simchas Purim. Is Hachinami Benidon Didan in our issue? He has no intention here of some sort of sexual immorality, but rather Simchas Purim. He's only doing it to enhance his Simchas Purim. And therefore, he says it's not considered a violation of the Torah law. And in the very first paragraph of this tshuva, which is called Al Dvar Levishas HaPartzufim, Shenoagim Lilbosh Pachurim V'gam Besulis Kenim Niyarim V'purim, he says that the psak has to be lahatir, and he goes back into a time machine, and he describes how the Gedolim of previous generations, the Chasidei Olam, Ro B'neim V'doseim Chasneim V'Kaloseim Lov Shemosim Partzufim. This was well known to all the greats of the generations. V'Shinui B'Gdeyem M'Bigdei Ish L'Bigdei Isha V'Chein Lehepech. And in the context of this costume on Purim, men were wearing clothing of women and vice versa. And Chas V'Sholom, he says, heaven forbid to say that there's a Nidnud Avera, some sort of even Havamin of a Shmek of a violation, Chas V'Cholila, V'Hem Shosku V'Lo Machu, and these Gdolim, these Rishonim, the Chasidelium, did not object to it, Elavadai. There's no question that they understood that there were proofs to establish the legality of this Minog in Halacha, Shehet Gomuhu. And then he goes Afuki Milibam, and he goes against other people. He calls them Stukim that tried to undermine this minhag.
Can you make a comparison? The Ramaz issue is one of between Ben Adam Lechaver and Gizela. This is Ben Adam Lechaver. I mean, how do you?
But maybe, Joe, it's a Kal Vachomer. If it's not called Gzela when I grab something yours, because we're doing it within the context of Simchas Purim, and you and I know what.
His kavana and the person who he's grabbing it from, both of them are understanding this is Simchas Purim.
Correct.
But the love in the Torah on this on Lo Yilbash, where's the give and take here?
So maybe I'm not sure, Joe, but I think what you're asking is really the question of the Ramah. And let me just present to you his question. You'll tell me if this is what you have in mind. The Ramah in two places quotes this tshuva of the Ma'ariv Mintz as the basis for our leniency regarding these costumes on Purim. First, he quotes it in the Darkei Moshe, which you'll see on the bottom of page 2. And then he quotes it in the Shulchan Aruch, in his Ramah, his Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch, and that you'll see on page 3. In the Darkei Moshe, he starts by saying, Kosav Ma'ariv Mintz B'tshuvos. He quotes the Ma'ariv Mintz, and he writes, Haminig Poshut V'ein Moche. And he quotes the Tshuva of the Riva about grabbing things on Purim, Shelo Bershus. And this is part of Simchas Purim. Uvinispashet Haminog Lilbosh Kelayim. He says you're allowed to wear Kelayim on Purim, according to this Minog. Again, it's only Kelayim Durabonon. He says, on the left side, which is in the bottom of your page 2, he says, the Ma'ariv Brin, Karatagar ala Minog Shalavishas Kelayim. He objected to the wearing of Kelayim, again, even though we're talking about Kelayim Durabonon. And he then says, Ulefi zeh kolshken diosa lilbosh partzufim. He says, if you're talking about an Issa Drabbanon like Kelayim, then, again, not all Kelayim is Drabbanon, obviously, but in a scenario where it's only Drabbanon, and the Ma'ariv Brin is not willing to allow that on Purim, to allow you to wear Kelayim as part of Simchas Purim, even though it's only Drabbanon, how much more so should we be enjoined from wearing masks that make us appear as women? And then he says, "Onam, but however, may acher de chazin and de poshet aminuk v'yein moche nira li liyashiv aminuk." That line, I think, is what I referred to at the beginning as methodological. And again, this has repercussions way beyond the context that we're dealing with. Imagine, we're talking about an Issa Doraisa. He's got a kal v'chomer to prove that there's a problem here with an Issa Doraisa, and yet he's saying we have to find the justification for the minhag. This is how powerful a minhag is. If everybody out there is doing it on Purim, again, it has to be a bona fide minhag, and we gave many explanations for the base for this minhag, then we've got to find a reason to be matir. Very interesting approach to halacha. And we're dealing here with an Issa Doraisa. And how is he able to be miyashev this minhag? He says that the Gemara allows us in Masechta Bava Kamma to wear kelayim if we need to do so. For example, let's say he's in a very cold place and he has to put on these garments. Or, for example, a seller who sells garments and he puts on kelayim, but he has to wear it on his back just to sell it. That's how he transports it from one place to the other. He has another case where he has problems with the tax authorities. All these cases, we are matir kelayim. Why? So again, if you want to put a little arrow here, because I think this is the major punchline, it's four lines before the end of the Darkei Moshe. And he writes, Kavan, he says, the key, Eino miskavin levisha shari. This is a case of Eino miskavin. Normally, I enjoy the benefit of wearing clothing. It warms my body. And that's the kavana of the Issa levishas kelayim. Here, I don't have any kavana to warm my body. Shmamino, he says, you see from this that you need kavana. And if you're wearing some clothing for Simchas Purim, then you're not being miskaven. And kein nirali tama minog. That just like in Kelayim, if you're not miskaven for the Hanos Kelayim, it's mutter. So too, if you wear a beged isha, but not because you intend to look like a woman, but because of the mitzvah of Purim, that's also an eino miskaven situation. Now, before we read the last line in the Ramah, I want you to fast forward to page 3, where the Ramah writes in the Shulchan Aruch that Mashenogu Lilbosh Partzufim Bepurim v'gever lo veish simlas isha v'isha klei gever. Ein iser badavar. There's no iser. Me'achar she'eino miskavnim el l'simcha b'yalma. It's what we would call a davar she'eino miskavnim. And then he says, but yesh omrim di'asur. Aval aminik isfar rishonim. Even though he quotes the second opinion, he says our minhag is like the Mekilim, we're lenient on this. However, if you go back to the Darkei Moshe, the last few words on page 2, there he says, Tov lahachmir, v'lavras Hashem b'simcha, v'lios gila b'radah. Gila b'radah means, as I'm having this experience of great joy and simcha, which is the outburst of the pleasures and joys of Purim, I still have to have an element of re'adah. Re'adah means I have to be trembling, I have to be fearful. And I should be fearful of the fact that maybe if I go too far here, dressing like a woman, there's a good possibility that I violate a lav d'oraisa. But even though in the Darkei Moshe he reflects his kind of inhibitions about allowing you to wear these costumes, in the Ramban Shulchan Aruch, there he's giving you the straight halacha, and he says that we paskin, that's the minhag, like the first opinion, and you're allowed to do this on Purim. And why? Because it's eino miskav. Now, gentlemen, I just want to stimulate your minds to ask a question here. Maybe, David, I saw your finger went up. Is davar she'eino miskavnim always mutter, or there's a built-in limitation, qualification, rule to davar she'eino miskavnim?
Psikresha.
Excellent. So let's go through the case of psikresha. A man is carrying heavy furniture from one place to another, and it goes through ground, through dirt, and it makes furrows in the ground. He has no interest in making furrows in the ground. He's just trying to transport his couch. But the Gemara says, even though according to Reb Shimon that would be a davar she'eino miskavnim, because making furrows on Shabbos is meleches choresh, but nevertheless, if it's a psikresha, meaning if he's carrying it directly on the ground, dragging it, and it's very, very heavy, the ground is relatively soft, there's no question it's inevitable that he's going to make these furrows. Even Reb Shimon says it's awesome. So imagine a man looks like a woman on Purim. Says the Rabbah, it's mutter. Why? Because he's eino miskavnim. What do you mean he's eino miskavnim? Who are you fooling over here? It's a davar. That's a psik reisha gomor here. The whole concept of davar she'eino miskavnim in this context is off base. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, that's a different question.
Wait a minute, David. Before you ask a different question, can you give me an answer to this question? Now, I'll tell you why. Because I think the answer to this question is absolutely necessary. I mean, it's urgently pressing, because how can you allow this to go on? And he says the minikshen is pashet when you're talking about a violation of an isur d'oraisa, and you're telling me that it's a davar she'eino miskavnim. What kind of davar she'eino miskavnim is it?
Because he doesn't hang out with women.
Say it again.
He's not hanging out with women.
Well, that's
the question.
That could be the reason why the Torah prohibited it, but the Easter is the Levish itself. You know, you're not allowed to wear these clothing, this apparel, because it's feminine. And it's absolutely feminine. And he looks like a woman. I remember on Purim, again, he wasn't dressing as a woman, but I remember one of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva came in on Purim, and nobody, hundreds in the yeshiva, nobody could recognize him. It was such an amazing costume. He dressed up like Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn. You know, it was an amazing, amazing costume. I'll never forget it. So what's the answer, Rabbi Osai? I think the answer is that sometimes kavana, the intention, is an essential part of the avera. It's not just that the avera is the maisa avera, the act, the, you know, the dry cut mechanical act. And if I don't have kavana, so there's a special tour of davar she'eino miskavnim, but it's a psigrei sham chayev. Sometimes the Torah defines the prohibition as having two elements, two dimensions. Number one, it's got the maisa, I put on these clothes, I look like a woman. And number two, I intend to look like a woman. The kavana is built into the mice. And maybe, David, that's what you were saying. I'm just embellishing a little bit.
No, I have, my question is slightly separate.
Go ahead.
That is, the Torah says don't do it because it's an abomination. It doesn't say, but there's no aspect. That's before she was saying
that. It doesn't say what?
It doesn't say, but there's no aspect.
Right, that's what we saw in Rashi. Right.
So it looks as though it looks like that people are going to Tom and Benzos and make perturbed for that, which seems kind of unusual.
Very unusual. The whole business is unusual. But I'll tell you why, David, because there are situations where it's necessary. Again, I'm not talking about Simchas Purim now, but it's necessary to wear these garments for reasons that have nothing to do with appearing like the other gender. And because the halacha builds in this, you know, how should I say, this safety valve, allowing you to dress in that way because of the necessity, like we saw Mibnei Achama, Mibnei Agshamim, we're already limiting the nature and the scope of this Avera. Now you're right, in the Pasuk it doesn't say why the Torah has it. And what chutzpah do we have? In a sense, it's very, you know, it's a real audacity on our part to come along and say, well, we understand why the Torah gave this mitzvah, this Avera, and therefore we're going to cut down this Avera and its application to various situations and allow it. And so that seems really, you know, going beyond the letter of halacha. That's not the way halacha works. You remember that Shlomo Melech was guilty because he said, "Lo yarbo lo susim, lo yarbo no nashim." I'm not. I don't have a problem with that. And sure enough, he fell in. But be that as it may, we see that there are clear cut sources here. And let's just review three sources that this Iser is limited. Number one, we have the Bach and the Shach in cases where he needs to wear these garments because of the climactic conditions. Number two, we have Rashi who says explicitly that this whole business of an Iser Levishas Begin Isha is because of Shem Niuv. And it's very interesting. Rashi's language is L'Shem Niuv. Which leads me to the third point about Purim, that the Ramah says he's not miskaven to violate this Easter. He's only miskaven for the purpose of Simchas Purim, and as to use Rashi's terminology, it's Eino L'Shem Niuf. And if it's Eino L'Shem Niuf, it's Mutter. And Ramah says this is going to lead to a famous tshuva about the issue of a man who feels that he can enhance his chances of getting a job if he dyes his hair. Dyeing the hair, as we'll soon see, that's the beginning of Kuf Pei Beis, comes under this Iser of Lo Yilbash Gever. So if you have page 1, go back to the beginning of Kuf Pei Beis. Hamavir Seyar Beis HaShechi Beis HaErva Afil V'Misparayim Kein Tar Makin Oso Makas Mardus. In other words, this man is shaving parts of the hair and parts of his body the way a woman would, and he gets Malkus for that. And the same thing is going to apply in the case where he wants to take the white hairs and remove them from his body, which you'll see in Sif Vav here, which is on the bottom of your page 1. Also, Lilkot Afilu Seir Echad Lova Mitoch Hashchoros. He wants to remove one white hair out of the black. This is typical of a person, I would say, in the age bracket of somewhere close to 40. When you know, the first white hair, I don't know, how old were you when you know, the first time you noticed the white hair? I don't know, there's probably a scientific, you know, study about that. But let's say you woke up and the first birthday present you got for reaching the age of 40 is that you looked in the mirror and sure enough, you've got a white hair, either in your beard, if you have a beard, or on your hair. It's not a very pleasant experience, you know, because you realize, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is really, it's downhill from here on. Because one white hair quickly reproduces itself and spreads like wildfire. Until you finally get to the point where you can't even find any black hairs anymore. And, you know, you go to the barber and you say, look, I can't tell you what to do. you know, you want to give me a haircut or a shave, but please do me a favor, focus on the white hairs, you know, like that kind of thing. And look at the Machaber says, "Asu lukar afilu seir echad lovan mitoch hashchoros." And why? Because lo yilvash gever. V'chein asu lish litzboa shchoros. He cannot. You have to read this with Ramah. He cannot dye his white hairs black. Afilu sara achas. And then he tells you not to look in the mirror. I remember once I asked the mashgiach in my yeshiva if I have something in my eye and I want to take it out of my eye, can I look in the mirror? So he told me to take a big brown bag and cut out two holes for my eyes, you know, like give it a break, you know what I'm saying? So it was a big cooler. It was a good cooler I got, you know.
You can't, come on, you don't look in the mirror.
No.
Okay, you know, it depends why you're looking in the mirror, you know. But what I wanted to tell you is that the issue of dyeing one's hair black for the sake of a different purpose, let's say not because he wants to look like a woman or not, he's not imitating the women, he just thinks it might enhance his ability to get a job. But again, you have to worry about another Easter here, and that's called Onas Dvarim, because, you know, Onah is when you cheat someone. So, you know, if you look 60, but you dye your hair and now you look 50 or 40, that's a problem. How to exactly resolve that issue of Onah, of misleading. You want to get the job because, you know, you tell, again, if you tell him right up front how old you are, that's a different story. Then you're just trying to present the best foot forward. But here, Rabosai, what I want to study with you is a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. And this you'll find on page 4. Rav Moshe in Yoredei Chelek Aleph Be'inyon Likach Isha Al Yidei Epes Samei Refuos Shechozrim Asaros Levonos Kmo Shehoy. He says that the medical profession came up, I mean, I don't know where these pills are. I asked a few drugstores, they didn't know what I was talking about. But pills that if you swallow these pills, your white hairs will turn black. I never heard of such a thing. I mean, if there is such a pill, I wonder what it could sell for. I mean, this is...
What are the side effects?
Right, what are the side effects? So it's very fascinating. Again, I keep telling you my same line, that there are methodological principles here that play in that I think are absolutely fascinating. He writes... Odos harafushim tziu arofim shelochemos ochozin asaros halavodas lemareim arishon l'shchar or l'adom shachar or adom. He could even become a redhead like he used to be. And he wants to know if it's asur mitzad lo yilbash gever, because here he's only doing it by taking a pill. He's not actively or directly dyeing his hair. And he says the following. Avayer, he says, what I have to clarify in this case is Haim Isur Zedlo Yilbosh Hu Al Kol Tikune Anoshim Al Etzem Maisa Shalovesh Umiskashet Bimalbushim Vikishutim Shosim Anoshim. Is it that the Torah prohibits the action itself? In other words, we define the action as either male or female in nature. And if it's male or female, then the other gender is prohibited. Oh, maybe that's not what it's about. Ha'iser hu al mashe yotzei mizeh. What does he look like at the end of the day? If he's melubash umakushat kemo anoshim, he appears like a woman, and he beautifies himself the way a woman would beautify herself, then even though the maisa itself was not a direct maisa, nevertheless, it would be awesome. So what's the nature of the Easter? This is a classical yeshivish hakira. that comes to the world of the Valajari Yeshiva and through the generations, what is the nature of the Isser? Is the Isser the Maisa Vera? Or is it the Totsah, the result of the Maisa Vera? And he says that Afkamina is going to be taking pills. Because in the case of taking pills, you cannot say he directly did an act that's feminine in nature. He's just swallowing a pill. But Elowat, at the end of the day, the repercussions, this will be a cause for him to look like someone who beautified himself by coloring his and dyeing his hair black or whatever color. And therefore, if we emphasize the Maisa, this would be Mutter. But if we emphasize the Totsas HaMaisa, the ultimate end result, which is that he looks like a woman, or at least he looks like he dyed his hair like a woman would dye her hair, then he says it's going to be awesome. So which is it? Is it A or B? Is it the Maisa Avera or is it the Totsas HaMaisa? If you look in the second column, he writes, Lekichas Rafua Embos and Maisin Noshim. On the one hand, taking this pill is not a Maisin Noshim. And therefore, if we're going to say that the Maisa is what's awesome, then it's okay. Aval I Neimada Israel Mashi Yotzim Izer, Shuvakushat Kabar Noshim, is even though taking the pill is not a Maisa of issues, but nevertheless, in my Noshim Enosis Klau, Hareshina Sarosov Mi Levanos Lashkoras, Vahu Maisa Noshim the Osir. It comes out to be a kind of a Maisa Noshim. And in the next paragraph he says, Mistaber, he thinks logically, and then he goes on to adduce certain proofs, Da Israel Mashi Yotze Mizeh, that the prohibition here is not the action, but the result of the action. And therefore, he says on the left column, the Iser applies even al yedei grama, even if my Maisa is only indirect. But it doesn't matter, because al yedei this Maisa grama, at the end of the day, becomes Mekushat, and therefore, it's Asur Mamish.
So you're going to bring it back to Purim?
Oh, and this is going to have an impact on Purim. But just before, Joe, we do that, I want to point out there's another tshuva from the Igros Moshe, the same author, which is on the bottom of your page 4. That's also in Yeridei, but not in Chelik Aleph, Chelik Beis. And there, they sort of attack Rav Moshe, because if you're telling me that the Iser is the Totsah, then what's the problem with looking in a mirror? In the case of looking in a mirror, no, I'm sorry, just the opposite. That if the Iser of Istaklus B'mare under Lo Yilbash is the emphasis on the Maisa, meaning after you look in the mirror and you put yourself up, you shave, or you comb your hair, whatever you do. Do you look like a woman?
No.
So it must be...
That's what I look.
Right, so there must be that the Easter is on the Maisa. In other words, women use mirrors. Classically, okay? Therefore, the Maisa of Istaklus B'mare is defined, is characterized as a Maisa of Isha. And Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha kicks in. But you, Rav Moshe, are of the opinion that the nature of the Iser is the Totsah. It's the end result. And since even after I use the mirror, I still look male and not female, it should be Mutter. How do you justify the Iser of Istaklus B'mare, according to your approach? That's the kasha that Rav Moshe has to deal with on his own Shita in the second Shuva that we have here on the page. Now let's talk a little about Purim again. We said that maybe in the case of Purim, we could be Mekil, like the Mari Mintz, because he's Eino Miskavin, meaning that Kavana is essential to the Avera. Well, that would make sense if the Iser was the Maisa. But since Rav Moshe is saying that the Iser is the Totsas HaMaisa, then it's hard to say that Kavana should play a role. Kavana is a factor to be dealt with when we define the Maisa. But we're talking about the Totsas HaMaisa. If he looks like a woman because he dresses up on Purim like a woman, then that itself should be the Guf Avera. And by the way, if you take a look in the Amayim Chaim, which is one of the Rabbanim here, the Sephardic Rabbanim here in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Mashash, which you'll see on the bottom of page 3, he is absolutely opposed to this minhag of wearing clothing and masks that make a man look like a woman. And he adds another element over here to the equation, which is fascinating. He wants to claim that all these masks have a socio-historical basis, and it was not in the Jewish tradition. He says there's no genuine Jewish tradition for wearing masks, but rather the basis for this minhag is what he calls a kar. You'll see this on the left side, line 5. Kar nevel. What's a kar nevel? That's a carnival. In other words, it was the carnivals that go back to, you know, Italy or England or wherever it is. He doesn't spell it out. Divrei Yimei Umos HaKodmim. He says from the time of the ancient nations, and he mentions the Greeks and the Romans and also all these kinds of idolatrous and paganistic cultures, they were the ones who started this minhag of wearing masks. And he goes on to tell you on which holidays of theirs they wore masks and carnivals and this, that, and the other thing. Therefore, he wants to say that in addition to the problem of Lo Yilbash, there's another problem here of Bechukosehem Lo Selechu, that we are in fact adopting a chukah of the Goyim. And it's a chukah of the Goyim that was used directly in the context of idol worship, which is surely purely an iser of chukas ha-goyim. And therefore, the bottom paragraph he says, "In came lo levad osur iser priestus yesh baze." He says, "El nosaf lezel iser chukas ha-goyim." Uvechein ani omer demari minsal shehekel baze lo hekel elo linaorim dafka. He wants to present the thesis that the whole tshuva lekula, the leniency of the Mari Mintz that we build so much on, was only addressed towards the young children. These children who apparently, I guess, again, I don't know if he spells this out, but are less than bar mitzvah. And then he goes on and scares us, and he says in Cain, kol mishi yesh biyodo limchos, anyone who could object and protest against this minhag, Vieno Mochin, he doesn't do so. Asid Litenes Adin. Wow. Pretty scary. He's like giving you a whammy here, because he holds that everything depends on the Totsah. And in terms of the Totsah, we know very well that he looks like a man. She looks like a man, he looks like a woman. But here at Moshe Feinstein, and with this we'll finish it up, he quotes a tshuva from a Moshe Mordechai Epstein. Does anybody know who he was? He was the Rosh Hashiva of Slabodka back in Lita. And Rav Moshe quotes a tshuva to Levush Mordechai, who permits a man to color, to dye his hair, his white hair black, in order to get a job. And why? Says Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, the Iser of Lo Yilbash Biikaro Hubameshe Hu Mizdame Leisha, or the other way around, the Alula Lovoli De Toeva, as Rashi says in Chumash that we saw it. And therefore, we might want to prohibit dressing in costumes on Purim, even though his Kavanah is L'Shem Simcha. But nevertheless, if he appears as a woman, it might come Lide Toeva. So who cares if he's not Miskamen? But he says when a man colors or dyes his hair black, Rabbi Moshe Mordechai says, Ein bazek klal his damus. He's not at all appearing as a woman. El iser yipui. There's another iser that's not called his damus, which is the real primary iser of lo yilbash. There's an isa yipui that a man should not beautify himself, haputz himself like a woman does. He says that isa yipui depends upon kavana. Imu miskaving l'shem yipui. If he's doing it for the sake of wanting to look beautiful, then it's prohibited. But if his kavana is in order to get a job so that he could put money on the table, or I should say food on the table, money in his bank account, ein bazeh iser bedavar. There's no iser. And with this, I want to just sort of wrap things up here. Rav Moshe, who's the big machmir, because he wants to say that the iser of lo yilbash is in the totsah, nevertheless, Rav Moshe's moder that one of the greats of the yeshiva world in the previous generation, back in Slavodka, Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, distinguishes between two dimensions of the Issur lo yilbash, the primary and the secondary. The real lav, what we call the Ikar lav, is his damus l'isha. In the case of a man who dyes his hair black, he's not looking like a woman. A man who has black hair doesn't look more like a woman than a man who has white hair. They both don't look feminine. Elo what? There's a separate isur yipui, and a yipui means when I do it l'shem yofi. If I am dyeing my hair because I want to look beautiful, that's a problem. Right? And even if I take a pill, and as a result it dyes my hair, that's a problem. But if I'm not doing it l'shem yipui, but rather my kavan is simply to get a job, that Rav Moshe Mordechai is mekil on, and that's quoted here in the truth.
In regards to using a mirror, is he saying the same thing? It's yipui, and therefore
it's awesome. So when you look in the mirror in order to look beautiful, that's already, you know, making you similar to a woman, not in the way you look, but in the act of yipui.
But the Shulchan Aruch puts it under the halachas of the lo yilbash.
Right. So lo yilbash generates two different tributaries. One is looking like a woman, there the Isra is in the totsah, in the final result. And therefore, even if I take a pill in order to look feminine, it will become Asur. And then the Shulchan Aruch derives from Lo Yilbash a second Isra, a new track, and that's Yipui. A Maisa Yipui. There the Maisa is Asur. At the end of the day, even if a man beautifies himself, he doesn't look feminine. He still looks like a man. But it's a maisa yipui, and that maisa yipui is to some extent imitating a woman. But if he does it without kavana l'shem yipui, but rather he's motivated by something else, that would be okay. Okay then? I'm saying, Joe, that according to Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, I have no doubt that there's no need to cut out holes in a paper bag in order to make sure that I can get this thing out of my eye. I'm not doing it l'shem yofi. And it's not a maisa of his damus l'isha. It's only a yipui. But I'm not doing it l'shem yipui, and the kavana is lacking in the maisa, and therefore there's no issa. It's interesting that when we discuss the question of dyeing one's hair black, there's a tshuva here from one of the rabbanim, Rav Shimon Sofer, from the Eloi tribe. I mean, it's hard to call them Chassidim because they have a tradition to the Chassam Sofer, but in any event, in his tshuva, which is here in Chelik Bey Simon Peites, he's talking about a young person who became prematurely white. And he basically wants to do something to his hair and use some sort of a chemical agent in order to restore his black hair so that he look the way he should be looking. He writes, Bachurim Rachim Nimtzoim B'Sairosim Saras Levonos. These are young fellows, and yet they have white hairs. And Haim Boim, why do they get these white hairs? Michalishus HaTeva. It's almost a disease. It's a weakness of the nature. And he says, Haim Mutarim L'Laktam. Is he allowed to do whatever he has to do in order to restore his natural look? He's not trying to look extremely handsome or beautiful, just because it's abnormal. It's for a young fellow like that to be full of white hairs. So again, he's not doing it l'shem yipui. Or he gives another case of Mishen Eslabein Chatzizkano, half of his beard became white. And let's say he wants to whiten the other half. That should be okay. Because again, shiny hosam shosos kadesh lo yizgan. He's not trying to look beautiful, but rather he's just trying to avoid gnai. He's trying to remove a negative thing. And he writes nirali limto heter bazer, and he wants to do it indirectly through a guy or through a katan. And he says he should sit down and have that person remove the white, but he should do it in a way that he's totally passive. Velo yates atzmo lo lekan velo lekan. And all this is because of the gnai, in which he wants to restore his own self-dignity, you know, his kavod abrios. The Gemara says that kavod abrios is so great that it's docha losos eshev haTorah. And here, when it's being done through a katan or a guy, it's only an issur derabanan, and he's not doing it actively, he's just absolutely passive. And in that case, for the sake of kavod abrios, he allows it. And he, in the next paragraph, he wants to go even further, that maybe we don't even need to introduce a katan or a guy here. L'hatal yidei Yisrael gadol. And that's the balance of this tshuva. So what we're seeing here, I think, is, again, as I said over and over again, a certain limitation in this isur. And that is that when you're doing it for a purpose, and not l'shem yipui, and not l'shem l'zdamos l'isha, it could very well be mutter. And we saw this in so many different ways, whether it's m'neachama, to protect yourself from the conditions, whether it's because of the mitzvah of Simchas Purim, here because of the gnai of looking so abnormal and unusual. And then you can talk about procedures which are medical in nature, and they may have an additional, shall we say, benefit in which you beautify yourself. Like, for example, removing pimples, acne. And you can use certain kinds of medicines which may beautify you, but at the same time they are medicinal. And once again, there could be room to be matir. And then, as I discussed at the beginning of the discussion about the question of women wearing pants, which was addressed by the Abiya Omer by Rav Avadya, and that you'll see on page 8 in this long, long, complicated tshuva called Siman Yudalid, Yordea Siman Yudalid, and it's addressed to the principal of a high school, of a religious high school, where women started wearing, the girls started wearing miniskirts. And he wants to know, maybe I should just advocate that they wear pants. Maybe that's less of an issue than miniskirts. And the question is, wearing slacks, is that going to be a violation of the Isur of Lo Yilba, Lo Yiakli Gever Al Isha? And that's this tshuva of the Abiya Omer. And in this tshuva, the Oz Nidbaru of Binyamin Zilber writes that Dabar sha'osa mishum nikayon or refua ein b'zeh mishum lo yilbash. And if he uses some sort of an agent, a soap or whatever, and it cleanses his body, gives a nice smell to his body, that's not called lo yilbash. That's not l'shem kishut. That's nikayon. That's refua. Anything done l'shem refua is okay. And to use these kinds of medicines, shemavirim pitzayav, it's Eapanim, that means acne, that already is a little bit more of a complicated issue. Is that considered refuah or is it considered yipui? And he writes that in Derech HaMokom Shegam HaNoshim Mishtam Shebem, if it's quite common for men to use the same kind of acne medicine, then it's not considered lo yilbash. It's not that you're copying or borrowing from the women. And so too with regard to using certain soaps and cleansers and nikayon and hygienic things that give you a good smell, men use it, then there's no room for chumra over here. And by the way, this whole discussion touches on the issue, I mean this whole discussion really is in a sense a framework for the issue of plastic surgery. Let's say a man wants to undergo plastic surgery because his nose is crooked or whatever have you. He's embarrassed by the way he looks. And especially in the case of a young man, and here you have a tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Minchas Shlomo, which he writes that Kevon delo kovid mishum yipui el mishum tsar, kigon shechodma mishuna miod mishal kolam misbayesh. If there's an element of busha that he's removing, then it's okay. And he says that's why there's a minhag to be makil of to be makil, which we saw in the source true for a young person to get rid of his premature white hairs in whatever method he uses. Because having white hairs at such a young age is considered like a mum. And if he's just trying to remove a mum, that's not called the shem yipui. It's not like tikkunei noshim. And therefore he wants to be making. So we're beginning to get a feel for the way the halacha moves here in the tshuvas as they come to the various shilas that we had. And what we mentioned from Rav Avadya, his response to that principle of the school was Yesh Livchar HaRab HaMi'uto. We should always try to limit the evil, do damage control. And he says, therefore, it's less bad to have these women wear pants, slacks, than it is to have them show up in miniskirts. And he goes on a whole tirade against miniskirts and what the nature of the Avera is, and he wants to say that it caused terrible tragedy in Klal Yisrael. I mean, this is a tshuva that dates back to the Yom Kippur War, where we lost so many soldiers. I also want to mention here, as we finish up, that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about women in the army and carrying weapons, whether that's some sort of an issue, or women who want to protect the borders of their yeshuvim, let's say they live in a yeshuv which is not far from the Arabs, whether there's a problem. There's also a tshuva from the Minchas Yitzchak, who was the Greivit, the head of the Badats here in Yerushalayim. Originally he was in England, about women wearing slacks, and he's absolutely opposed to it, the Minchas Yitzchak, because he writes Emes Heim Bechlal Kli Gever Mam. She wants to say that slacks really defines male apparel. Hagam Shein Meshunim Ktsas, even though there is a slight difference in terms of the women's slacks that they buy as opposed to the men's slacks, but fundamentally this is slacks, these are mechnasayim, which is classically a beged ishi. Rotzom epi his will that we fulfill this mitzvah carefully, avoid this avera and all the averas as well. But I do want to say that it's fantastic, it's fascinating to me the significance and the impact of a minhag, and how the poskim work overtime, sweat and toil, to justify a minhag b'Yisrael.